In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Is it coming across? I'm glad to be with you today, and we were having trouble with the blue box, so we're here anyway. Well, let me just say this. This is, I believe, the 13th of October. That's Monday the 13th, Columbus Day. I will be in Connecticut on the 14th and the 15th of October. That's Tuesday and Wednesday at Coventry. That's St. Mary's Church in Coventry, Connecticut. That's the 14th and the 15th. I will be in Coventry, Connecticut on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. There will be two services at 7 o'clock, one at 7 on Tuesday and one at 7 on Wednesday. That's at Coventry, Connecticut. Then we're going to jump down to the 28th and the 29th of October. I will be at St. Thomas Seminary in Bloomfield, Connecticut. That's right outside of Hartford. That's the 28th and the 29th of October. As you can see, October is a Connecticut month, and it's kind of funny. These are the two places I go to, and it's all in one month. So I will again say that to you so that if you're interested, we will be worshiping the Lord, praying for healing, seeing wonderful things happen because God is still on his throne and still hears and answers prayer. So the 14th and 15th, that's Tuesday and Wednesday, that's tomorrow and the next day, I will be in Coventry, Connecticut, 14th and 15th, 7 o'clock, St. Mary's Church. The 28th and 29th of October, I will be at St. Thomas Seminary, and that's in Bloomfield, Connecticut. And we will begin again at 7 o'clock. All these services begin at 7 o'clock, and you're welcome to come. I want to speak especially to the people in Springfield and Hartford, Connecticut, and all those lovely places that hear me on the radio in your area. So that's what I want to tell you right now, and I'll probably say it again. Okay, what I'd like to speak about today is I'd like to speak about freedom. You know, this country was dedicated to the Lord, first of all, and it was to be dedicated to freedom, that God's people have inalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They're given by God. They're not something that found or something that we made up. An inalienable right is what God has endowed us with. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There is one thing that you must notice, that when one life is at stake, and if it means that it's not an important life, it means that every life eventually is at stake. When man and woman begin to judge who will live and who will die, you're in deep trouble. Because the inalienable rights have been given to us by God to live, to have liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are things that God gives us. Now, when the government takes away one of these rights, nobody is safe. And the government started to do that with Roe versus Wade, and the government said that in the first trimester that we can abort children. But no more, it's it's really until the last moment if it means the health of the mother, and the health of the mother can mean anything. So I want you to know that when the child's life in the womb is worth nothing, that means we will then get to Mr. Obama's category, that if a child is aborted and he comes out alive, Obama believes that it has no civil rights, therefore it can be killed. He can be killed. That's what Obama believes. So if we're entering into this slippery slope of killing people, it's really what Hitler did. I always said you become what you hate, okay? And everybody hates Hitler. And you know what? Hitler is Alice in Wonderland as compared to what's happening today. That it is a legal thing to kill children. Imagine a nation that was founded on Christian and Judeo-Christian principles now says it is all right to kill children. All right? Okay, let's continue, because today is Christopher Columbus Day. My paisano, you know, he was a Catholic Christian. He was a Catholic Christian. Some people say he was born Jewish. He was a Catholic Christian. And he was, some people say, when they threw out all the Jews out of Spain, this is when he went to Isabella and Ferdinand to find the New World. Okay, we're going to look at other things now. When a nation changes the order of God, then we can change anything. Okay? So, okay, let's look at the whole experience of Sodom and Gomorrah. We remember that the angels visited Abraham, and there were people that wanted to have sex with these men. We know what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He literally caused it to be an ash heap. When we take the natural law and then we say the natural law is not natural and we can do what we want, I want to tell you it's messing up everything. I can tell you that the Roman society, the Greek society, and the Egyptian society all reached its peak and began to fall when homosexuality became, how you say, accepted. Now, in the United States, in Massachusetts, we don't only have the acceptance of homosexuality. See, I'm not against the people, but this whole experience of, we say that we can have people that are homosexual marry. This goes totally against natural law. I don't want to be crude, but I just want to tell you the pieces don't fit. And I want to tell you that when you go against natural law, you mess up things. Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation, okay? I'm trying to lay a foundation. So now it is the law of the land that marriage has been redefined. Now, we know what marriage is. Marriage is a union, a sacramental union, between a man and a woman. One man, one woman. That's what marriage is. Now, we restate the law in Massachusetts and also now in Connecticut that it's all right to be married, a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Well, I'm going to tell you that's totally against the natural law. And when you go against the natural law, there is going to be rebellion in nature. That's the way it is. You might not believe me, but you don't have to. I'm right anyway in this area. Okay, let's just continue. The Creator has given us inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, if you're poor and you're in the hospital, you don't count as much as if you were a Kennedy. I told you the story about the child that was brain dead, and they wanted to pull the plug. I told you the story about us going to pray with that child, and that child did not whimper. That was on a Monday. I told you the story that on a Wednesday, that child began to whimper and suck, and they still wanted to kill the child. They wanted to pull the plug. The grandfather cried out and said, "You want to execute my grandson." By the next Monday, that child was released, and he was completely healed, baby Antonio. Now, I'm telling you this. If that child was a Kennedy, they wouldn't even have suggested to pull the plug at the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? So life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for whom? For the rich? For the Kennedys? For the Bushes? I thought the inalienable rights were for all. That's what I thought. But you see, when we have this kind of a distinction that we do not want poor people around, I'm going to tell you, nobody is safe. Why do you think Planned Parenthood is so big? Because its founder, what did she do? She hated blacks and poor people. This is the foundress of Planned Parenthood. As a matter of fact, she was a friend of Adolf Hitler. Oh, they were friends. She believed in eugenics. Oh, yeah. Sanger. Margaret Sanger is her name. Check her out on the internet. Google Margaret Sanger. Find out who she really was. Why did Planned Parenthood start? First of all, they went door to door to the poor neighborhoods, talking birth control. Why? Because they hated the poor. Now, it's not only birth control, but it's abortion. Okay? And, you know, now, you know, we're going to have Planned Parenthood, and you know what? I don't know. Each child that is aborted, the government gives Planned Parenthood over $1 million. This is a statistic. Each child that Planned Parenthood aborts. Now, this is not because she aborts this child. This is, I'm telling you, what they give Planned Parenthood when you size it all up. Each child gets $1 million to Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood's going to have a new face. You know, open a new window, open a new door. Oh, yeah, they're going to have kind of like a spa in Planned Parenthood. It's going to all look so nice as the children are being killed and the women are being exploited. Last night I was watching Law and Order. I like Law and Order, but you know what? It was totally against life last night. It showed the people protesting as being mean and hateful. That's not what happens. And I just said, good night. Good night. I'm not going to watch this trash. They killed children at Planned Parenthood. They tried to present the doctor as a humane doctor. There he is with a little child saying, what's a little chicken called? What's a little deer called? A fawn. What's a little doggy called? A puppy. And then in the next scene, he's aborting a baby. They didn't show that, but he was going into the operating room to abort the baby. You know? I want to tell you that this is very interesting because I don't know about you. What did you plant this summer? Well, we planted basil. How much basil did you plant? Well, not too much. How much basil did you get? Well, not too much. Why? What I plant is what I reap. Isn't that right? Yeah, we planted tomatoes too. And we did get some, but not too many. Why? Because we didn't plant too many. What you plant is what you reap. Now, I just want to tell you, my friends, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what God has given us. So now life is not important. We're planting death. When you plant death, what begins to happen? You reap death. Look at what happens on the streets. people shooting each other. We are teaching violence. We are teaching violence. We are teaching violence. We are teaching violence. Not only people are shooting each other, now with the embryonic stem cells, you know, we're taking these individuals and we're manipulating them to use for other people. It doesn't even work, but we don't have the right to do that because it's human. It's human. It's human. It's human. But we're planting violence, okay? When we say that the Spanish life is not as important as a Kennedy life, what are we saying? Let's kill the poor. The poor aren't worth anything. That's Margaret Sanger. That's Planned Parenthood. Okay? When we say gay marriage, that goes against natural law and God's law. So guess what's responding? The stock market. That's right. The money's responding. 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 Oh, yes, God knows where to get us. You want to plant death, you're going to reap death in your pocketbooks. You want to plant death, you're going to reap death in your bank accounts. Plant death, your 401ks are going to show death. You want to continue to do these things? You're going to have death in your life. And I'm going to get you where it hurts you, in your pocketbook. And everybody's going to suffer. Keep on planting death, baby, and you'll keep on reaping financial woes. Oh, yeah. I know it's true. I know it's true. For where your heart is, there your treasure is. And where is the heart of the people in the United States and in the West? I'll tell you where our hearts are. In our pocketbooks. We would elect the devil if he said, I'm going to give you a chicken in each pot. We would say, okay, devil, we want our chicken. But I'll tell you, if you elect the devil, you're going to pay for it. Because the devil will get you in the gutter and say, you fool, you fool, you compromised with hell. So we continue to plant death. And when we continue to plant death, we continue to reap death. And that will show in every area. That will show in the violence of the inner city, the violence of homes. That will show in the stock market and your 401k. Yes, because we have gone against the law of God, the law of freedom, that which the Lord has given us, inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I tell you, that child in the womb cannot pursue happiness because that child in the womb cannot do anything. Can't even scream. At least if someone was after me, I could scream. At least if someone was after me, I could get a rock and throw it at him or her. That child in the womb is just confined, cannot do anything, is defenseless. I'm telling you, that means murder for the abortionist. That means killing for the mother. And there's a difference. Because most women have no idea about murder. But the abortionist knows that they are murdering children. And they are planting death. And when you go against God's law, you will suffer. Sodom and Gomorrah went against God's law, and it was destroyed. I tell you, my friends, if you think the banking things are bad now, you wait for two more years, and you begin to see what it happens. Unless we, the church, start repenting, unless we, the church, start crying out to God, unless we, the church, start saying we have not done our job, unless we, the church, come out full force and repent before the Lord, the God, the Almighty, the Holy God, the one who is and was and is to come, because I tell you, God has his finger on this nation and on the world. We have killed millions and 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 millions of children. And we have exploited women, one right after the other. And I'm telling you, we have had gay marriage and we sanction it and we make it a law. And we keep on planting death. We keep on planting death. We keep on planting death. And we will reap death in every area of our society. It is not God punishing us. It is we punishing ourselves. We punish ourselves. We punish ourselves. By what we plant is what we reap. And it will have a profound effect on everything. Because sin, you cannot sin in the closet. Sin has a ripple effect. Sin affects all areas. Sin has a ripple effect. It affects all areas. I sin, and I sin not only against myself, I sin against the church, and I sin against the world, and I sin against the earth, and I sin against everything that is, because sin has a ripple effect. But I'm telling you, there's grace. Where sin abounds, grace superabounds, if that's what we want. If the church would start having repentance parties, if the church would start having worship parties, if the church would start coming before the Lord saying, have mercy on us because we have not done what we should have done. We have been quiet when we should have opened our mouths. I'm telling you, my friends, if you think it's bad in 2008, wait till 2010. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen, okay? Now, I am not a financial advisor, but this is what I think is going to happen. Think. So just listen to me. I think what's going to happen with the monetary system is that in the next year or two, things are going to get better. For a while. For a while. I don't know the timeline, but this is what I think. This is what I think. And then, the bottom will fall out, and it will be time to sing happy trails to you until we meet again. You see, I'm a firm believer in what we sow is what we reap. Not only with our money, but with our talent and our time and our love. What you sow is what you reap. And when a nation sows death, I'm going to tell you, death to the economy. When a nation sows death in relationships to gay men marrying, I'm going to tell you, there's death to the economy. Oh yes, it will affect everything because sin has a ripple effect. And I never hear anyone preaching about this kind of stuff. Sin has a ripple effect. That's right. That's right. Father O'Donohoe taught us well in moral theology and told us you cannot sin in the closet. You will affect the church and you will affect the people of the earth and you will affect the earth itself because sin has a ripple effect. Remember after Cain killed Abel, what happened? The earth cried out to God. But let me tell you that the blood of Jesus speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. But we need a repentance surge. We need a surge of mercy. We need a surge where God's people would cry out and say, oh my God, what we have let happen. Have mercy on us. Because I'm telling you down the road, my friends, we're gonna have what people have not talked about in a long time. We're gonna have martyrdom. I'm telling you, my friends, already martyrdom is taking place in India. Priests are being killed. Nuns are being raped. Churches are being destroyed. I'm telling you, my friends, one day soon, there's going to be martyrdom in our country because people believe in Jesus. I don't know how many will die for him because you know what? If it means a loaf of bread or dying for Jesus, I think so many Christians would take the loaf of bread and say, God is a forgiver. I thank God that Peter, when he heard the voice, Quo Vadis, where do you want me to go? And the Lord said, I go to Rome. And so he went to Rome to be executed. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God that when Paul was in that jail, that house arrest, that he didn't try to escape. He was a martyr until the end. And I thank God that when he lost his head, I believe his last words were, Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, yes, you see. But now we have a nation of wimps. A church of wimps is what we have. I'm a wimp and you're a wimp. We're all wimps, that's for sure. We're all wimps. It's time to find our knees. It's time for us to repent. It's time for us to go to the Lord and say, don't give us what we deserve. In your justice, remember mercy. In your justice, remember mercy. We have planted death. What do we expect to reap but death? Oh, hallelujah, God, don't give us what we deserve. Don't give us what we deserve. Now, you're not going to hear preaching like this. You know why? Because people don't like it. You know what I say? Tough. Tough. Just tough. Tough. You know why? Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman. And if the watchman doesn't warn the people, you know who's going to get the axe? The watchman. I'm not telling you I am the watchman, but I will tell you I am a watchman. And I'm telling you, my friends, it's time to repent. It's time to find our knees. At the Holy Rosary this week, we will have Mass every evening because we have to find our knees Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 in the evening. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 in the evening. On Saturday night, we have our Mass at 5:30 and a healing service that follows. Sunday, our schedule is 9 and 11, and then in the evening at 7:30, we have a Jesus party. You know what? You're welcome to come. Our doors are open. We are into prayer. We are into repentance. We are into mercy. We are into the blood. Let me just tell you again, 14th and 15th of October, that's tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll be in Coventry, Connecticut, that's St. Mary's Church at 7 o'clock. I hope to see you there. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.